few days up to Oregon, and Jimmy isn't here, and a few others aren't here, it has been suggested to me that during the summer months, that is June, July, August, September, there should be no women shared dinner. So I'm considering that very seriously. Now, if I were asked, yes?
There are not 14 people here, and last week there were not 14 people as well. So it seemed like if she didn't have a shizzy, not 14 people, then she'd be missing out. So,
all right.
And we don't know who else might come. So it's not like we have 7 and 8.
Jim is going to be here because I saw
her. No, she can't.
She can't. Oh, she's not coming.
They're leaving early tomorrow.
I know, 6 o'clock.
She can't be here. Now, if I were asked to give this a title, I would call it Ruach HaKodesh and its Pitfalls. And that already gives you some idea of what it's all about. Now, we did the first part of chapter 3, in which the Derech Hashem just mentioned that there is a natural inclination on the part of the human being to know the universe that is round about him, to know the creation. And we have dealt with that. And a person can get a tremendous amount of information just by his own intelligence, and working to understand the world round about him. And in fact, when it says in the Torah, and Hashem created the Vayomer Elokim, Yehima Oros Birkiyah Shemayim, when God said, let there be luminaries in the firmament of the heaven, and let them be in the Elsos, Ula Moadim, Ula Yomim, Ula Shonim, and let them be for signs, and for seasons, and for days, and for months, and for years. When he says that, the first one for signs, what is it for the signs? What are the signs? Now, that is to be understood in two ways. One, the first way is la'elses, a sign. When Hashem did the miracles of Egypt, they were signs that people should see Hashem in the whole of creation, that Hashem is there. And so the very first, when one looks around, and the Chovas HaLevavos deals with it, and those who come to the advanced message here on Tuesday afternoon, will find it there next week, where the simplest, I'm afraid I've got to have the sort of frequency.
I should put lower, isn't it? I was trying to get the lowest.
Yes, right.
It's off. That is the
and when it's impossible for a person to see the simplest things in creation, what are they? The sun, the earth, day and night, the movement of the earth on its axis, which causes day and night, the movement of the sun. I'm available if Rabbi Bestone's or Rabbi Teichman. So do you press 9?
Yes.
Fine. So that there you've probably got your 14 already.
Not 14.
Is it not 14? If it's Rabbi Best or Rabbi Teichman, I've got to speak to them. Now, the movement of the moon around us, the earth, the movement of the earth around the sun, it's just, and the regularity of it, that we can predict exactly when everything is going to take place, the regularity of it. And traditions were taught, orders were taught, as Shibalpe, it was Gilda Shibalpe, and a state is made when to have the Kiddush HaKadosh month used to be, can be proclaimed, what is Alpi Re'iyot, to saw the new moon, and say, at 5 minutes east, we saw the sky. And then they were examined very closely, the Beth, the closely, to, if it's true that they saw, to think mistakenly, this is all the result of to think that that is the way they knew. They had calculated exactly when the new moon would make its appearance. The law was that it had to be done by witnesses, by the seeing of witnesses, and then the Bezdin had to be the Kaddish, had to sanctify the Sanhedrin, had to sanctify the new moon. That is what it was. But when the Sanhedrin examined the witnesses, they knew exactly where the new moon was and when it could have appeared. They knew exactly to the second, to the split second, it was left out. And when the first base of Midrash was destroyed, and there wasn't a Sanhedrin anymore, then everything was worked out for years to come. It was the easiest thing for them to do. That was all Torah Shebal Peh. That's the Bnei Yisrael. That they knew all. And they knew that two witnesses, there were three things that could happen to the two witnesses. The first thing is that they were telling the truth. The second thing is that they imagined they saw the new moon and they didn't see the new moon. There's certain lights in there. The person can make a mistake. And the Sanhedrin cross-examined them and knew immediately. And the third thing is they could be telling a lie. Why should people tell a lie about the new moon? Very simply, they made a big fuss of the two witnesses. Oh, they made a big fuss of these two witnesses, and the people like being made a fuss of. Some people, lots of people, like being made a fuss of. So it was very easy to want to be the first two witnesses to come and say that they've seen the first in Hebrew. But they could never possibly get away with it, because the Sanhedrin knew exactly how to cross-examine them. They knew what it is. So all this was known. But those are the, as when it says in the Torah, that the sun and the moon were given for signs, the signs to recognize God in the universe. That is there. Now, when we go a little bit further, we find, and this is what the Derech Hashem says, in the middle of the first paragraph, the end of the fourth line. Esther, we are very glad to have you with us. Very glad. We're only sorry it's not going to be longer, and we're only sorry that yours and... And Moshe's stay is staggered. We would have preferred it had you come both together. Anyway, we are more than thankful for all mercies. And this is certainly not a small mercy that we've got you with us, and we're going to have Moshe with you, with us soon. Now, at the end of the fourth line, Omnon, Od Gozashi, Motele Askole, Meulo Mizo Meod. Besides this ordinary intelligence that a person has, or this intellect that a person has, there is another intelligence that is considerably higher. The he has kola hanishpas, and that is the intelligence that comes from outside. It's an enlightenment that comes from outside. So one's intelligence and one's intellect comes from within one. But there is also an endowed enlightenment. An enlightenment that comes from outside. Now, of course, we are entering the whole area of philosophy, because that's something that's an enlightenment that comes from outside. And that is that there is an enlightenment that is endowed, that comes from an endowment directly from Hashem. Through means that Hashem has prepared for this. Uvahadiyah Hashem ahu el tichlo yukba bel yediyas inyun ma beveiru. And when that endowed enlightenment comes to man, then he knows what he is contemplating. He knows it with absolute clarity. Bevilti sofet, without any doubt. Uvavilti tos, and there cannot possibly be any error in it. The Yeda Hadova Bishlevus, and he will know the matter in its entirety. Its circumstances and its issues, that which is this result. Called Dova the Madrego, so the Indian then Nitra Rucha Kodesh. everything according to its degree, its value. Not quite sure what it means by that. The Indian there, Nikra Ruach HaKodesh. Now that is called Ruach HaKodesh, and that is the Holy Spirit. So that is Ruach HaKodesh. It is a force that comes from outside. It's an enlightenment that is endowed. It comes from Hashem Yisborah, and it comes to the human being. And that is Ruach HaKodesh. Very, very few people have got Ruach HaKodesh. And I told you that is one test. If anybody tells you he's got Ruach HaKodesh, then you know that he hasn't got Ruach HaKodesh. But don't tell him that. Don't tell him that. Let him go on believing that you really believe that he's got Ruach HaKodesh. Yes, somebody else was here first. Yes, sir.
So why are people given Ruach HaKodesh? Is it for individual benefit? Public benefit?
Well, we're going to come to that. Please don't leave that question. You might have to come back to it a bit later. But that's an important question. Betty?
Mm-hmm. Is it possible for some people to have maybe one experience like this and have another experience, or does it always come as sort of a continuum?
Now, if a person's got Ruach HaKodesh, he's got Ruach HaKodesh.
When the person is so enlightened, is it possible to have one experience of that?
We'll be going to come to that.
Also, there are other spiritual practices or religions where they also talk about they use the term enlightenment. Is that similar
yes,
concept?
Well, those are the pitfalls. And I'm going to speak to you about the pitfalls tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So just that, I don't want any of you to go about thinking that you've got Ruach HaKodesh.
No, I wasn't thinking that.
All right. Sophia, what do you want to ask?
I think that it's simple. That is the same question I read. It's a continual thing, or can someone have it for a period of time?
If a person's got Ruach HaKodesh, he's got Ruach HaKodesh. But there are degrees before Ruach HaKodesh. And we've got to speak about those degrees also. Now, you must know, so I've given you one clue. Yes, Sue?
When someone is disturbed with the Ruach HaKodesh, I was concerned with the last line where it says,
Hold the ball, the mud lay
go sell. He understands perfectly according to his level or its level?
I'm not sure of that. I would like to be able to say that he's called over the mud, each thing according to his level.
The person's level.
I'd like to think it's not clear to me that. Mm. I'd like to think that he means that. Yes, sir.
I thought there are people who have had the condition that it's been taken away because they've been abused or whatever, that they.
This is what I'm coming to. Ruach HaKodesh will only be given to a person who has earned it. It doesn't come to a person who hasn't earned it. So, in what way does he earn it? He earns it on two distinct levels, two distinct areas. The one is the intellectual area, and the other is the area of piety, of character. On those two areas, he must reach great heights in intellectuality, and he must reach great heights in the area of character. Right. So those are the prerequisites for it. Great intellectuality and great characters. Person's got to be right on top as far as that is concerned before there can be any Ruach HaKodesh. So one is pretty certain that the person's got Ruach HaKodesh. It's not likely that he's going to get it and say to be taken away, because once he's reached that stage, it's not likely to be taken away. I told you that about the Chofetz Chaim, Rebbe Cholan, who knew him the best of anybody. Nobody knew him better than Rebbe Cholan Wasserman. Rebbe Cholan Wasserman said about the Chofetz Chaim, in his old age he had Ruach HaKodesh. Only in his old age. But the Chofetz Chaim's old age spread for very many years. It spread for about 30 years. Yes, Betty?
What's the difference between Ruach HaKodesh and Yad HaShemayim?
That's we're coming to that. Now we're coming to that. Now, so we've got an idea of what we've got an idea. Chame, come and sit here, Chame. Chame. I was just going to say it. Now it's worthwhile giving you a shit, leaving you some. So now we've got some idea of what is Ruach HaKodesh. Now I want to go further so that we can cover some ground and then we'll come to all the other subjects. Now, the neighbor there is there. Now, through this means that if through you, Ruach HaKodesh, Yasi Binyoni Masha Begeriras Kola Ativis, so he can come to an understanding of general principles in the world. After Yosei Beiru Ruach Moshe Chotuchadu, that the subject is the same subject as anybody else is engaged in, but with greater clarity as we've explained. But with Ruach HaKodesh, you can also comprehend matters that with the ordinary intellect, it is not possible to reach that height. The ordinary intellect. When we close the Ruach HaKodesh Banisoros, we can even see into the future that Ruach HaKodesh, the Banisoros, and things that are hidden completely hidden, that with Ruach HaKodesh, it is possible for a man to reach that, to be able to see that. So, two levels, first of all, the usual thing, but with much greater clarity than the ordinary person can see it. That is what Ruach HaKodesh is. And on the second, he can also see that it's things that are impossible normally for a person to see, that's impossible, and he's able to see that. So those are the two gedolim of Ruach HaKodesh. Now let us go on to the third paragraph, third segment. The Uro Madregas al Madregas means to the Dogo. Bain the Inyan Tel Hashefa Mishpo, Bain the Mano Mishofa, Bain the Derech, Yiru El Odo. He says, but there are different, so many different degrees and levels, whether it has to do with the strength of this enlightenment that comes from outside. How strong it is, that depends. It is bein bizman hishofo, the time when it makes itself evident. Bein the derech hagiyo el order, in the way that it reaches the man, it's given to the man. Uve mahus advorim amizgalim enodim lo ayadei zeh. And also in the, what is the exact worth of the matters that are being revealed to him in this way. But there's one thing that it all has in common, and that is that the person who is experiencing it is aware of it that he's experiencing. Now that is very important, that he is aware that he is experiencing it. That is Ruach HaKodesh. So the person who's got Ruach HaKodesh is always aware of it that he is experiencing it. He's aware that he's got Ruach HaKodesh, and he's aware of it when he is under Ruach HaKodesh, when he's seeing something with that absolute clarity, or when he is given the opportunity of seeing into the future, understanding things that haven't happened yet. He is aware of it all the time. He doesn't go into a trance. It's not in his sleep. It's not in his dreams. He's aware of it, he's awake, and he's aware of it all the time. He doesn't like people who are in trances, but people who are awake and aware of it all the time. Yes, Betty?
I'm sorry, Brad. Don't think, but I don't understand exactly why a person has it. They have to be aware of that kind of question. Why is it so important that the person never say that he has it?
Why is it important for the person never to say that?
Why is it so important that the person never say?
Because one of the greatest qualities is that of humility. And if he speaks about it, then he hasn't got humility, then he can't have it.
Okay. even if you ask the person, they would say, no, I don't have it. Okay.
He would say, no, he hasn't got it. Or he would say, why did you ask me? And if you persist in asking him, then the person who persists is very rude. And once he's a rude person, he doesn't have to answer him at all. But if he says, but why do you ask me? You must know that that is the answer. He says, why do you ask me? And he goes, you don't ask any further. That's enough. All right? Now, a little bit further, and then we'll go discussion. Okay, old Yitro should use Babalevo Odom Shefa. He says, but it can also happen that there is, there enters into the heart of man a in Shefa, a power, Sheyamideu Adilchen in Yonmeo in Yoni, that will put him into contact with a certain subject, that he will understand it really well. Aklo Yavish Boha Mushpo, but the person who is being enlightened will not be aware of it. Elo, the motion of Phyllis Makshova Bilboba, but to him it will appear that he suddenly got the idea. So to him it appears he doesn't, he's not aware that it comes from outside. He thinks it comes from within him. That's the way it appears. He says, but that is also an out, that can be an outside influence. Elo the motion of Elias, the Yikore Giri for Omi Madera Chalchova Ruach HaKodesh. He says, this thing sometimes falls Divrei from Ruach HaKodesh, but Divrei Chachomenu Zichro Odom Livrocho. In the words of Chazal, they call it Divrei Ruach HaKodesh, but this is not Ruach HaKodesh. Tau Hashkor Niseris, or it is called a hidden influence. Abo Ruach HaKodesh Ve'emes, but if it's proper Ruach HaKodesh, Hu Shehiyeh Nikor Ve'nigrosh Ve'nirgosh Ve'beiru Liva Olav Ve'kabash Yitokhadu. That can only be if it's absolutely clear the person who possesses it is fully aware that he possesses it. That's Ruach HaKodesh. But he's got to be fully aware, and he mustn't imagine that he's got it. He's got to be fully aware of Ruach HaKodesh. People who imagine they've got Ruach HaKodesh will be very quick to tell you that they've got Ruach HaKodesh. Then you know you stand immediately, you see. That is a very good vow, yes?
And the second paragraph, would that be like something like someone suddenly thought of an idea?
Yes.
And they discover something?
Yes, now that we're going to do. That could be sudden that the idea comes to a person, but you've got to be careful, because a sudden idea can come to a person through hard work also. Very hard work. And sometimes he works very hard, and then there's a period, months can go past that he's lazy, he's not doing anything at all, and then he gets a brilliant idea. But it's the result of the previous work that he has done, and there is a period of incubation, and that is that after he's worked so hard, it's put to the back of his mind, and there it incubates, and his mind is working furiously all the time, but he isn't aware of it. And then when the time comes, it's projected forward again, and their happy idea is born. And it's a period of sudden illumination. But it isn't really. It's the preparation that went in, the incubation that took place, and then suddenly becomes an incubation. But between preparation and illumination, there can be a long period of incubation. But that isn't Ruach HaKodesh. That is hard work. Now, there we can stop there for the time being, and we can examine some of these things. Now, we find that there are different things that can happen. One has to be careful. For example, we find several times the Chazal tell us of an incident that happens in the Torah. Nibei velo yoda ma nibei. He prophesied, and he didn't know what he was prophesying. For example, when the brothers were all standing in front of Yosef. And you remember the story, how they came, Yosef knows that his brothers sooner or later are going to come to buy grain. Has to come. And he's been the one that has been appointed to supervise the sales. So when the sales are, every day that the sales are, he's out on in the exalted place, standing on a high platform, and he's looking out for his brother. One day he's there as usual, but that's interesting. There's Yehuda, unmistakable. That is Yehuda. But are there any others? Yes, there's Shimon. There's Levi, I've already got three. He goes through and he gets them all. But they're all in different places. Now, he knows exactly where each one is, and he starts. Calls out Reuven first. Doesn't mention it. Said, you, they don't have any adventure. Yes, that's the one. I want you to come out, stand here. Reuven hasn't got the foggiest idea of what all this is about. Then he goes, looks about. Shimon says, you, come out and stand here. Looks, you, so another person says, me? No, not you. He knows whom I mean. He knows. David comes out, they've got three of them with him. He goes right through the whole lot. And he's got them all according to their ages. And they stand before him, and he says, you are spies. Now they're in a difficult position. Is there a connection between them or not? If they're going to say there is no connection between them, now they can't say that they're dead scared of him. Yet he's got 11 of them all standing there, at, put in according to their ages. Who knows what he knows? So they say, no, if they are spies, then there's only one penalty for spies. That's the death sentence. And they, it's not like America, they wait 3 years before they give the death sentence. There it's immediate. Just like the Russians used to do it until a few months ago. There it is immediate. So they say, no, we are not. We are brothers. Brothers. You tell me you are brothers. If you're brothers, you come together, why you would spread all over? You're spies. That's why you go. You want to see everything, you want to hear what they speak, so that you can take it back to your country. You don't belong here. No, they say, we were 12 brothers, and one disappeared, and we're looking for him. That's why we were all, we're going back looking for him. Perhaps he's somewhere in Egypt. But then they say, we are brothers, Kulonu, all of us. And the Chazal said, why do they say all of us? They say, we are brothers. That's enough. They say, he clearly included Joseph. We are brothers, Kulonu, all of us. That means you are also one of us. But they didn't know it. Nibu v'lo yodu ma nibu. They prophesied and they didn't know what they were prophesying. Now there they had something. What was that? Not Ruach HaKodesh. So there is that, we've got to take that into consideration. Now there is another thing also, and that is intuition. A person's got intuition. But you've got to be very careful of intuition. Intuition can be the result of collective experience. Person through the years gets a lot of experience, and from experience he can know already. From experience I can know how a person reacts in a certain situation. When I'm speaking, I'm giving a share, from experience I can know who's understanding the share, who didn't understand the share. I just have to look at the person. It's not worth a Kodesh. Just I can tell by the person. But the person isn't saying anything. How do I know whether that person is understanding the shir or not? That is a collective experience you can know. By the look you can know immediately. That's an intuition. But it doesn't come from outside. That is something that is perfectly natural, comes from within the person. What else is there that comes from outside? Now, we've got something else. And that is, we've got Siyata Dishma. A person can have Siyata Dishmaya. Siyata Dishmaya comes from outside. For example, a person can be working very hard on a piece of Gemara, and he doesn't understand it, and he doesn't understand it, and he works days and days and days, and suddenly he gets the idea. Absolutely right. That can be Siyata Dishmaya. Now, Siyata Dishmaya means help from heaven. That is Siyata Dishmaya. I explained to you last week that we've got a prayer for Siyata Dishmaya. The Yekum Tuton in Shemaya, Feast of Echita, Veratna, Vatayeh, Arishay, in the Mizayna, Riyay, Rivichay, the Siyata Dishmaya, we ask that the leaders of our people, that the Chachomim, be given Siyata Dishmaya from Hashem. Siyata Dishmaya, divine help from Hashem. Divine help. They need it. They've got to lead a community. They get this guidance, this help from Hashem. That is Siyata Dishmaya. Now we come on to a very dangerous thing. Got to be very careful of this. There is another kind of Siyata Dishmaya. Another kind of Siyata Dishmaya. This is now a principle. The principle is Bedere She'odom Roche Lo Leches Mavishin Hashem. Along the way that a man has chosen to go, Hashem leads him along that way. So he gets Siyata Dishmaya. It leads him along that way. The way that a person has chosen to go, Hashem leads him that way. Person wants to start leading a life of Torah. But sincerely, heart and soul, genuinely, the Siyata Dishmaya, Hashem helps that person. On what principle? The Derech She'odom Rotzei Lo Leches, Malishin Hashem. The way a person wants to go, Hashem leads in that way. What happens if a person wants to go the wrong way? What happens if a person wants to go a bad way? Same principle applies. But thereafter, Odom Rosi, Lelefis, Mabishin, and so. Same principle. The way a person wants to go, that is the way he is led, and Hashem helps him along that way. Why is that so? That belongs to the theorem. That belongs to predetermination of will. And this is the part that I would like to make clear because this is the difficult part to understand. Predetermination of will is so important to the human being. It's only the human being in all God's creation that has got predetermination of will. The sun and the moon and the stars have not got predetermination of will. The angels have not got predetermination of will. Animals have not got predetermination of will. They haven't got the fear of. The human being is the only creature that has got predetermination of will. He has got the fear of. So much depends upon that. Now, if a person chooses to go a certain way, doesn't go. He wants to do wrong and he doesn't go. So he stops doing it. That means he hasn't got the theory, he hasn't got predetermination of will. So he won't do it. So it interferes. Too difficult. So Bedere She'odom Rotzei Lo Leches Bo Molishin Hashem. Whatever way a person chooses to go, Hashem leads him along that way. But that's only the beginning of the story. So we've got to be very careful of that. A person has kept the Torah. and everything goes into that. Love you. Then he decides he's giving it all up. He's even more successful than he was when he was keeping the terrorists. So why should he keep the terrorists? Hashem is helping him not to keep the terrorists. That is the way he has chosen. Got to be very careful. How does one know? That's what we are here for. Each person is a judge over himself. Each person is a king over himself. Now, this has got to do, this has got to do with the responsibility and accountability and authority. You know, let us say a person is put in charge of a very big organization. Now, the biggest organization that I can think of in America is IBM. Person is put in charge over IBM. And the manager, whatever it is, the president, the shareholders say, you are now in charge of IBM. You've got all the responsibility. Now that person is weak, he's got any say-so, and he wouldn't be given that position if he hasn't got any intelligence. The first thing he will say is, if I'm going to be head over IBM and I've got all that responsibility, then I've got to, and I've got that accountability, I've got to have authority also. So the authority, well, how much authority do you want? After all, there's the president, there's the shareholders. He says, the authority commensurate with my responsibility. But you give me responsibility and I've got no authority. I'm responsible that a certain thing happens. And I've got two important workmen, and they decide they want to go and see a football match or baseball match. What do they call it? It's not the same thing.
No.
Are these things different things? So they're different. So they decide they're taking 2 days off. There's a football match in Alaska. They're going to see the football match. Take it off. The man who's got now all this responsibility, he says, I can't allow that. He said, who's asking you? No, no. I can't have that. I've got to have authority commensurate with my responsibility. If they say that, I've got to be able to say you are fired. So they say, no, that we preserve for ourselves, that. Firing and hiring we do. He said, well then, please, I don't want the job. You catch me, I'll fail immediately. I'm not interested in the job. Leave me where I am. What it means to you. What it means. Now, you know how big IBM is. In America, there are at least 250 million other organizations that are at least as big as IBM and even bigger. Do you know any of them? That would tell us that they are sitting around the table. There are 16 of them. They are not 16. How many are there? Not 17. That would tell us that there are not 17 of them. Yeah, they are already around the table. Each one of us is an organization much bigger than IBM. If you consider how many cells there is in a human being. The last time I asked, I was told by a scientist, we don't really know, but at least a trillion. What goes on in every single cell of the human being, what goes on there, what an organization it is. Each one of us is in control of that. So we've given the responsibility. Say to Hashem, responsibility without authority. Without authority. Hashem says you've got full authority. Free determination. But you've got to do what you like. That is what you've got all that responsibility. You've got that accountability. It would be unfair to give you that responsibility and that accountability if you can't do what you like. It's only you've got full authority. That is freedom of will. Rachel, do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand my English? Good, fine. Good, right. My English is improving then. Even you can understand. It's right. Now, so that is the idea of the hero. Full authority. Otherwise it can't work. Now, don't forget the person that's been put in charge of IBM. He says, I've got to have a budget. Can't work without a budget. I'll need equipment. You tell me now I can't have equipment, but I've got the responsibility and I've got the accountability. Right. You need anything, you'll get it. We'll help you. Got it. You qualify. That's the way it works. So, otherwise there's a flaw in the predetermination of will if it isn't like that. So it's got to be like that. Now, how careful we've got to be. We are doing something, we are going a certain way. Of course it's right. Look how God is helping me. Look at the siyata vishmaya that I've got. Maybe just the opposite. What you are doing is absolutely wrong. And what you're getting is not siyata vishmaya. What you're getting is so that's what you're getting, not the siyata vishmaya. What's the difference between the derech sho'odim rotsi loleches malisim herself and siyata vishmaya? The derech sho'odim rotsi loleches malisim herself can be for evil also. Siyata vishmaya can only be for good. Now we come, so far we have done with the simple ideas. Now we come to the complex, or the compound. It's possible that you can have a compound of the Derech Sho'odim Rotsi Loleches and Siyata Dishmaya. For example, a person chooses to do good, and it helps him. And in addition to that, there is still siyata vishmaya that he can have. Can help from heaven if he can. It can work the other way too. Person chooses to go a bad way, a wrong way. And the derech sho'odim rotsi loleches malisim herself, so he's being helped to go the wrong way. That is the principle. But he's a good person. Makes a mistake. We can have siyata vishmaya, and it doesn't go. He wants to go the wrong way, and it's going, and somehow it's not working out. Siyata vishmaya comes in. Comes into conflict with the Be'orim Sh'odim Rotsi Loleches Bo. Siyata vishmaya comes in and it saves him. And I'm making myself clearer now. So those are the things that we've got to deal with. So we've got to be very careful, always mokum lichas. In all this, there's always a place for ta'ut. There's always a place for the error. We've got to be very careful. Elizabeth?
That if the two forces are in conflict and a person wants to do wrong, if God intervenes, what determines which force is stronger? Is it the fear?
Now this is, there is such a thing as divine interference. Siyata Dishmaya, the Siyata Dishmaya comes and helps the person. You can have where they are not in conflict, but where they are in concert. For example, a person wants to do good, and the Derech Sho'odim Rotsi Loleches Malisim Herself, but the Derech Sho'odim Rotsi Loleches I said, it's only natural means. And there comes a siyata vishmaya to help him along, which is much more than just natural means.
If there's divine intervention,
yes.
I'm not clear enough in my confusion. I'm thinking, well, then that, in fact, interferes with the divine.
It does. There is divine intervention which does interfere with the ego. If a person deserves it. If a person deserves it, there's divine intervention which interferes with the ego. There's also a divine intervention which interferes with the ego, but on the side of evil. For example, Pharaoh was so cruel, so wicked, that there came a chance where Hashem hardened his heart.
Mm-hmm.
He might have already wanted to do. If the people told him to give in, that's mm-hmm. taken away from him. That can happen. All that can happen. Is that clear? So, the whole thing is really, it's quite clear.
I'm having a great deal of difficulty with that. If the person has free will, and yet the divine intervention through, as in the case of Paul, a hardened heart, then he...
That was his punishment.
That's his punishment.
That was his punishment.
So how he used his free will.
Because he went so far, that was his punishment, that was taken away from him. The free will to now turn around, to do tshuva, that was taken away from him. He had gone... He'd reached the point of no return. So that was over. Yes, Sima?
Well, I have two questions. First is, why does it seem that those who treat people have an easier time of accomplishing their goals and those who treat good? It seems that it's more of a battle on their hands.
The trial, you see, to go, there are different trials. To go evil, that's the sound. You are calling into play. The sun, the power of evil is coming into play. Very, very strong power. That power became so strong when the first man sinned. Power became very strong. It's a strong power. So that is it. And in today's world, the power of evil is very, very strong. You've got 5-6 million Jews in America. And every day I'm hearing of circumstances that makes my
skin crawl.
Yeah, it just stands up. I just can't believe how far Jews have gone away. And these are doing extremely well. Extremely well. God of evil is very, very strong. Now that is more or less what stands up. When you move to the Chabad, you will hear more about all this. If you are in the right course, you will be under the care of the Simcha Kutra Taker.
He's
an obvious. He's an obvious. You will hear more about all this, I'm sure. Yes,
Siva. Another question. We know that in the Olam Haba, man will have a more limited philosophy, more limited freedom of choice so that things could work. Which means that complete freedom of choice is maybe not, we're not ready for it. How could that be?
I don't quite understand the question.
We were talking about the large companies and how executives would need complete freedom of choice. It doesn't seem to be working. It's going to be limited.
It's going to be limited from another point of view, that things will be so clear to us, will be so clear to us that there won't be a proper material. For example, if I don't put my hand into the fire, is that a proper material that I've got? I can choose, I can decide, put my hand in the air, not put my hand in the air, I'm not going to exercise my material, I'm not going to put my hand in the fire. Yeah, I need a theater for that. A man wants to switch on the television on Shabbos to see what's the football about for him. Wants to see it. It's the international game, but is it Belgium versus the United States or such a he's got such a gates of aura. To me, I couldn't do this. I don't have to exercise my tefillah there. So the only areas where you've got to exercise your bechira, and it moves for each person, it's a different one. The bechira, the area of bechira moves for each person, you see. Doesn't affect me at all. But in the Ola Pabul, there will be a Yetzirah, but on a very much higher level. You're just dealing at the moment with something that happened in Boston recently. The professor of communications in the Boston University gave a speech recently. It was an excellent speech. People went mad about it. 2 days later, the Boston Globe reported the speech again. But what it did is it divided the page into two parts. Here was his speech. And there was a speech that Michael Webber gave at one of the universities 3 months earlier, and was printed in a paper. It came across 6 months later in Primus or something, you remember? It was and it was printed there. So these two were next to each other. Now, Martin Luther said to me, if you wanted to plagiarize anything of mine, there's plenty that is going to be taken that hasn't received the publicity. Wasn't even printed. It was printed in some little thing. He could have taken that. Why did he come exactly to this? Now, he had a gate of horror for that. He's a professor of communications. Read what Michael Redwood is reported to have said at this university. Hillsdale is the University of Hillsdale. Supposed to be a very special university. So he sees that it's so good that he can't do it. Can't debate away from it. He succumbs to it. That is where he has to exercise his bechira. Now, as one writer once put it to me, he said, only a journalist or a writer has got that type of yetzirah. It's only he that must exercise his bechira there. Because he knows how good it is. He really knows. So that is where his bechira is exercised. So that changes, you see, depends on the person, depends on the circumstances. That can change. But that is the way it works out. So we've got various things here. We've got nibei below yoda ma nibei. And that is just a sense that a person has got. Now how does that, nibei below yoda ma nibei, how does that work? And that is, that a person knows more than he knows, if you will forgive my Greek. A person knows more than he knows. A person knows more than he is aware of. At Hannah's Simcha yesterday afternoon, I touched very briefly on a Gemara. The Gemara says that a child, I gave the reason for the Shalom Zohar, that a child before he is born, the whole of the Torah is taught to him. Just before he is born, an angel snaps his fingers over his head and he forgets everything. Comes out, he's born and he's forgotten everything. What's the point of teaching him if he's going to forget anything? Isn't that a labor loss? One can only know what one knows. One cannot know what one doesn't know, if you can follow my Greek. For example, I go to a concert and I hear a symphony. And I tell somebody, you know, that second symphony, that second movement,
What a lovely boost that you've got. If I could only remember the theme, can't remember the theme, person that I'm speaking to hums it. Then that's not that. Hums it. Not that. Gives me another one, another one. Gives me a pattern. Now, Mamonisha. If I know it, then why can't I hum the tune? If I don't know it, then how do I know that that is the right tune? How do I know? The thing is, one knows more than one knows. And so it is, one cannot know that which one doesn't know. That is the principle. So a person, when he's born, knows everything. He's forgotten it. And then when he learns, then he knows. Cannot know what you don't know. He learns and he knows it. Now, so we've got a sense. We know things sometimes. We can't explain how we know it. But we know more than we know. Can't explain it logically, but we know more than we know. Not intuition, but it's another sense. We are deep, deep people. We ourselves, in the majority of cases, or the majority of cases, cannot penetrate to our real depth. But there it is. Thank you, ladies. Now, should we meet next week? How many are there tonight?
I won't be there next week. I think. I'm not sure. My friends are coming.
How many?
Not 17.
That means, and
I may.
And who's going to be there?
I'm not having my friends.
There's a good chance
that Nick might be back. The chance that Zara will be back.
Oh, I see.
And Jordana.
Oh, yes. All right.
The thing wants to come. The thing wants to come. The thing wants to come.